Philippians chapter 4, if you would, please. This first month of Sundays, my goal is to establish the precedent for our new theme this year, In Everything by Prayer. It comes out of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. And so if you will, today's message is kind of the introduction to that. And then we have three more Sundays, of course, to develop that out. And so get used to the subject, all right? We're going to put our best foot forward. And I really believe if, again, let me make a disclaimer here. Because I'm emphasizing this doesn't mean I don't think that our church prays, okay? I don't think that at all. I think our church is a praying church. But can we agree on one thing? That we all can be more fervent in prayer. Okay, and how about this? Can we grow in our prayer lives? Yeah. Okay. Can we get better at it? Yes. All right. So that's the heart. That's the emphasis. Not looking at you saying y'all are heathen. You don't pray. We need to start praying. Okay. That's not the sentiment at all. All right. And so with that said, if you'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God, if you are physically able, Philippians chapter 4, and we're just going to read the first 9 verses. If you'll read out loud with me on the even verses, I'll read out loud by myself on the odd verses, and I'll begin in verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. I've been so excited for this day. I guess I kind of am contradictory in my statements about New Year's, right? Resolutions and stuff. Why, if you know something is needed, why would you wait till the new year to start it, right? I've been thinking about this and praying about this particular theme for months now, and just kind of sitting on it till the new year today. You know, folks, we need to get a hold of this thing of prayer. We really do. Just by way of introduction, for me, this starts in my own life. You know, prayer is something I guess that. I suppose I've always taken for granted in a way. You know, I do pray, but I guess I don't feel like I pray like I should pray. And we need to grow in this area of prayer, all of us. You may be a fantastic prayer warrior, and God bless you. I love that. There's a dear little lady over in Arlington, Texas. I got to see her at Dr. Fisk's funeral. But if I knew that if I actually I still could, and I just haven't necessarily reached out to her. I know she'd probably like me to. But you know, as a staff member there, I knew that if I really needed something, I would tell Mrs. Badger, and she would pray for me. I just knew that she would. And you know, she was the organist at the church for many years, but with arthritis and things, she just had to stop doing that. And she wanted a ministry. And guess what her ministry is now? She's a prayer warrior. And you know what? Oh, I love that. And you know what? We need some people like that. We have some people like that here at this church. And that's my hope and my prayer with this prayer list and things. We need a wall of prayer. Amen. Another song I'm hoping to work up to sing as a special is called At an Altar of Prayer. Beautiful song. And one of Brother Smith's favorite songs, actually, in the ministry. But, you know, I've mentioned to you the song Sweet Hour of Prayer. Maybe that'll become your goal. I have a goal that by the end of this year, I can have several instances of hours of prayer. Amen. So that I can sing that song with a guilt-free conscience. Because every time I sing that song, I in my mind, I have to change it to sweet 15 minutes of prayer, sweet 5 minutes of prayer, sweet, 30 minutes of prayer. I'd like to stand up and by the end of the year, Brother Camp, put that on your notes. Some of the last weeks of December, I want to sing that song, and I want to stand up here and be able to sing that song and sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. I do. And I hope maybe you have that as a goal as well. Well, as we look here in Philippians chapter 4, I just wanted to share my heart with you on the theme of the year and what the Lord has laid on my life. But I want to get into this text here as we begin. And before we even talk about prayer, which we're not actually going to talk about today, we're going to talk about the preparations for prayer. The preparations for prayer. You say, what do you mean? Well, don't I just kneel down and pray? Well, kind of. But not necessarily. If you look at what Paul says, Paul loves these people in Philippi. Look at verse 1. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. So let me ask you a question. Do these people mean something to the Apostle Paul? Absolutely. Are these believers in Christ? Yes, they are. How do you know? My brethren, right? And so Paul loves these people. They're dear to him. And we know from the records in the book of Acts that he led many of these people personally to the Lord Jesus Christ, established the church there in Philippi. And these people are his joy and his crown. They're loved. They're longed for. These are people of God that the Apostle Paul loves. And he wants the best for them. And he's in these next several verses, he's going to be giving them some information, some charges, some encouragement, and how to be successful in their Christian life. And let me just stop and say this. Whether you're a member here, maybe you're a new visitor, maybe you're a long-time visitor. Okay? And some of you are a long, 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 long-time visitors. And we would love for you to be members. Let me just put that little commercial in there, okay? And now, but no matter what your status is, right? I can say this because it's a scriptural, biblical principle. I love you. Okay? I do. All of y'all, or I should say all y'all, there's no of in that particular phrase, okay? I'm learning Southern phraseology. I love all y'all, okay? And so I do, and I want the best for you. And the best for you is going to come from following what this book says. Okay, that's where you're going to get the best that God has for you. And that's what I want for you. So just like Paul writes to these people whom he loves, whom he longs for, his joy and his crown, he first gives them this preparation for prayer. The first one is, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Let me tell you something. If we're going to have the right kind of prayer life, we've got to stand fast in the Lord. Let me ask you a question. To whom do we pray? We pray to God, right? God is what? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one, right? For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. So we pray to God, a triune God, right? And so if we're going to pray and have our prayers heard, What preparation do we need to make? Stand fast in the Lord. Okay, stand fast. So, can a non-believer stand fast in the Lord? No. You've heard me say before, life begins with Christ. Okay? So, if you're a believer, these are dearly beloved. They are brethren. These are people that he knows are saved. They're born again. They are in Christ Jesus, right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become. Okay, so they're in Christ, right? Here they are, in Christ. This is a great place to be, in Christ. But he says, so stand fast in the Lord. Where am I supposed to stand? You say, not on the furniture, Brother Combs. You're being a bad example to the children. Okay? I'm supposed to do what? Stand fast. Where? In the Lord. I'm not supposed to stand fast by myself. Right? I'm supposed to stand fast in the Lord. We need to stand in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is safety? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is sustenance and satisfaction? I'm giving you outlines for new messages. Amen? You say, I told you, every message breeds another message. It just kind of does. Where is that? I am the vine. Ye are the... Hello? Where are we supposed to abide? In the... Yeah, stand fast in the Lord. We need to be connected to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he loves these people. They're his joy and his crown. And he tells them to stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Do you sense just the sincerity of the Apostle Paul to these people? And Lighthouse Baptist Church, those that are members, those that are visitors, we love you. We want you to succeed. And if you're born again, which I hope you are, and if not, we can deal with that today. But if you're born again, you ought, in everything by prayer, notice this verse comes before verse 6, right? Everybody okay with that? That's why I'm calling them preparations for prayer, because he doesn't get to prayer till what? Till verse 6. He encourages them to stand fast in the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to stand fast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to Joshua chapter 1. You say, what does that have to do with standing fast in Jesus Christ? Well, I already told you that God is three parts, right? But here's what God says. This guy Joshua, good guy, right? Successor to Moses. Leader of the people of the complaining people of God, right? Look what he says to him verse 3, okay? God says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, unto you, as I said unto Moses. And then if you go down in verse 6, verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee at all the days of thy life, right? Verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. He says in verse 6, verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. That was a charge to Joshua, right? And basically, what was Joshua supposed to do? He was supposed to stand fast in the Word. In the beginning was the, and the Word was with God, and the Word, hello. Go to the end of Joshua's life in Joshua 23. Did Joshua accomplish this? For the most part, yes. Yes, he did. Can we accomplish this? Yes, we can. Look at Joshua 23 and look at verse 1. And it came to pass a long time after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. He called for all Israel and for their leaders, elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God, he is he that hath fought for you. Did Joshua realize who had won this? Yes, it wasn't Joshua, was it? It wasn't the people, was it? It was their God. Look at the next chapter, chapter 24. You're familiar with this, right? Verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And I love this next phrase. It's so fun. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord. Head scratcher. Right? Oh boy. But you know what? That's what happens, isn't it? He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. So they did, right? And they chose God. And then we go on and we know that, look at verse 31. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Great, right? All the days of the elders that overlived Joshua. Great. And which had known all the works that the Lord had done for Israel. All that's wonderful, isn't it? Two full generations of people serving the Lord and standing fast in the Lord. And then guess what happens in the book of Judges? After all those people were dead and gone, they forgot God. You know, there are days and times during the course of our lives that we, I'll be nice to you, we overlook God in our lives. I'm not going to accuse you of forgetting God, although that's probably the case, isn't it? We overlook God. We forget what God has done. We become comfortable, right? We don't stand fast in the Lord like we should. We need to, like Joshua, all the days of Joshua, all the days of the elders, stand fast in the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says this, now this I say, brethren, that that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And Paul says this, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So just like Joshua, what did Joshua give the credit to the victory? To God. Where does Paul give the credit of the victory? To God. Then he says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain, and then there's this phrase, in the Lord. Where's it supposed to be? In the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, in this 2024, more than ever. I probably should have the kids sing this song again. Do you understand? The waves of immorality are beating on the shore. They are. The devil is attacking. He doesn't want our generations to come to succeed. Do you understand? Our world is inundated by sin, fornication, immorality, lust. It's out there. Greed, selfishness, pride. It's oozing out of our world. More than ever, we've got to stand fast in the Lord. If we're going to have victory, what do we need to do? This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. If you want to have success in everything by prayer, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. More admonitions from Scripture. 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, watch ye. He says this, stand fast in the faith. Where's our faith? It's in Jesus Christ. Where are we supposed to stand? In faith. In the Word. In the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Faith, quit you like men. Okay, that doesn't mean quit. Okay, if you want to know the origins of that phrase, you need to look it up. But it means be a man. Okay, that's what that means. Quit ye like men. He says, man up. All right, we'll put it in modern day terms. All right, man up. And ladies, you can man up too through your husbands. Okay, man up. But put your best foot forward. Be strong. He says, let all your things be done with charity. He says, and I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, and that it is the first fruits of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. That's another message. Whew. You want to be successful in everything by prayer? Addict yourselves to the ministry. Stand fast in the Lord. You know, my family sometimes doesn't understand, or maybe they understand, but we're human, okay? Your pastor's family is not superhuman. We're human. They don't always understand that my mind puts others first. And sometimes I serve others instead of serving my family. And I try to balance that, and I try to be careful with it, but sometimes it just happens. Well, why do you do that? Because I'm addicted to the ministry. It's just who I am. It's who I've become. And you know what? I'm not ashamed of that. I try to do more for them, and I try to make up for it in more ways than you understand. And I'm just babbling about myself, I guess. But we have to have that mindset. When I think of this theme this year in everything by prayer, we teased yesterday. We kind of blew it, and I teased with you as well, Brother Losey. We should have started our meetings by prayer because of the theme. Then we had these financial meetings, it's all business, you know, but it's not all business. Where's our mindset? Hey, how about when you open your eyeballs, right, in the morning, and you go, in everything by prayer. You just started a new day. Start it right. You go out there. You eat that first meal of the day. What do? Pray. Hey, you go to your job. Oh, well, you get in a car. I mean, that could be a death sentence. Here in the Metroplex. In everything by prayer. You say, Ma, you're going too far. Am I? Where's our mindset? You say, is there such thing as too much prayer? Is there? That's a good question. Why don't you answer it? Okay? Paul says this. Look, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Stand fast. Watch. Be strong. Let all things be done with charity. Be addicted to the ministry. He says that ye may submit yourselves unto such and to everyone that helpeth us with us and laboreth. Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. That's another thing we can stand fast in. The liberty that Christ has given us. Listen, our liberty is not used to be used as a cloak of maliciousness, right? You understand that? We're not to, shall we, sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But God doesn't want us to stand fast in the Lord, all bound up, and say, well, I can't do that. No, he says, hey, you should be able to live saying, I can serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Just man falleth 7 times and does what? Riseth up again. For if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our right. Folks, we need to stand fast in the liberty. It's not to be used as a get out of jail free card. That's the wrong mentality. But if we do sin, we don't have to stay down. We can get back up. If Satan gets a hold of us and gets a foothold in our lives, we can shake him off. That brings to mind another great message I heard from an evangelist, a fiery evangelist. Old Paul got that viper, right, on his hand. And when the devil bites you, just shake him off. You know, very stirring, you know. It is. But in Christ Jesus, we can do that. We stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the word. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the liberty, Paul says. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The devil doesn't have to lock you up. You don't have to let him lock you up. That old life, that old sin nature, it doesn't have to take you into bondage. But here's what we do. We offer ourselves back to it. He says, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Stand fast in our liberty. He says, that Christ has made us free. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? That's where we need to stand. In the Lord. In Philippians 1, Paul says, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in patience or in truth, Christ is preached. And therein I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. But that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ Jesus, for by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit. There's another one. In one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Paul says, stand fast. Stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the liberty. Stand fast in the Word. Stand fast in these things in one accord, in one mind, and that ought to be the mind of Christ, the head of the church. We've talked about that recently. So what does it boil down to? If we're going to make preparations for prayer, we need to be right with God. We need to stand fast in the faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. What does that mean? That means if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Guess how we're to live each and every day? Standing fast in Christ. If we're going to pray, and if you're going to feel like your prayers, as they go up, go through the ceiling, instead of stopping at the ceiling and coming back down, we need to stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast. Quit ye like men, as Paul said. Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I don't have time to re-preach that 10-part series. Whatever it was. I don't know if it was 10. I'm just guessing. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Oh, I love this. And having done all to stand. Trustees are like, this guy's tearing up the furniture. No, I hope that last thing hit home. And having done all to stand. So here's the question. By the way, I didn't intend for this first point of the introduction to take the whole time. I have points 2 and 3. Have we done all to stand? Have you given it your best? Have you given it your all? I remember cross-country and track coach, Mr. Jansen, he would ask us if we left it all on the course. If we left it all on the track. You know what? One of the things that he hated was the bus ride home, a bunch of kids, you know, goofing around and playing and causing, you know, ruckus and cutting up. Because to him, that means we didn't give it all. What he liked was when we got on that bus and about 5 minutes down the road, everybody's asleep. Because we were spent. We left everything out on the track. I mean, have you done all to stand? Every day, do you think about standing fast in the Lord? And positioning yourself in Christ Jesus and giving it everything you have. No reserves. Nothing left in the tank. It's all His. That's what we need to live. If we're going to be effective in prayer, the Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If we're going to make preparations for prayer, if we're going to have a great 2024 and fulfill this theme in everything by prayer, we must stand fast in the Lord. My beloved, my dearly beloved, my brethren, stand fast in the Lord. He goes on and talks about Euodias and Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. He entreated others that labored with Clement and others whose names are in the book of life. You understand that these people were special to him. They were named personally. And I could go through and I could name each one of you personally if I don't forget your name. I sometimes forget my own name, okay? It's okay. That's why boot camp was good for me. Everything was stenciled in my clothes. E. Combs. I knew who I was. He wants them to be successful. So he first tells them to stand fast. Let me give you a preview for the next time. Verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord. I have about 16 verses for that. And then not by actual words, but we get to verse 6. And he says, be careful for nothing. You know what that means? Trust in the Lord. So there you got 3 points. Stand fast in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, and trust in the Lord. We covered the first one today. Aren't you proud of me? Starting off the new year just like I did the other years. But you know what? If we're going to be successful in everything by prayer, before we even get to the prayer thing, we've got to know the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to be saved. And then as saved, we need to be dearly beloved. We need to be that kind that's going to stand fast in the Lord, drawing nigh to God, and he'll do what? Draw nigh to us. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I mean, we're supposed to be conformed to the image of his dear son. I could go on and on. How's your relationship with Christ today? If you do this in the morning, will your prayers be heard? You know that if we regard iniquity in our heart, what does it say? He will not. Wow. That's tough, isn't it? But true. Preparations for prayer.